mott.org.
I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. Nigger, writes Harvard Law Professor Randall Kennedy, is the signature phrase of racial prejudice. Other words rankle, but nothing, it can be argued, inflicts the verbal sting, packs the opprobrious punch of nigger. Ugly, hateful, charged with the history of an oppressed people and their oppressors, nigger, the African-American abolitionist Hosea Easton wrote in 1837, quote, flows from the fountain of purpose to injure. A little more than a century after that, the poet Langston Hughes wrote in his memoir, The Big C, quote, the word nigger, you see, sums up for us who are colored all the bitter years of insult and struggle in America. Randall Kennedy wouldn't disagree, but as he argues in his new book, Nigger, The Strange Career of a Troublesome Word, it's not that simple. As a linguistic landmark, Kennedy writes, nigger is being renovated. Appropriated by some African Americans as a term of endearment, it is expressed with affection, not lobbed with vitriol. Connection listeners, can the most loaded word in the English language be defanged? And what would it take to do that? Or should the word nigger be banished from the American lexicon? Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. 1-800-423-TALK. Randall Kennedy's with me in the studio. He's a professor at the Harvard Law School and author of Nigger, The Strange Career of a Troublesome Word. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Do you think the word nigger can be defanged?
Sure. In some contexts, it can be defanged and has been. The fact that in some communities, nigger is widely used shows that it has been defanged, that it has been transformed from a slur intended to wound into a word signaling something very different indeed.
But here I am, a middle-aged white radio talk show host, and I have an awful time saying the word on the radio because of everything that is chained to it, everything that it conjures up.
Well, that's a good thing. I'm not urging people to use the word nigger, and indeed I think that it's a good thing that the word has been very strongly stigmatized. I think it's a good thing that people feel a great amount of anxiety when they hear that word used, particularly in polite company. In fact, it's not used in polite company, and that's good. It's a good thing that over the past half century, the word nigger has been run out of the political culture such that no ambitious politician would be caught dead using the word nigger in any sort of circumstance in which it could be misunderstood why he was using the word. So I'm glad that the word has been stigmatized. At the same time, I do not want it banished.
Okay, Professor, this is where I need you to help me, because on one hand you're saying we need to understand the word, where it comes from, what it means, not be so afraid of it. But you're saying, on the other hand, that when people are afraid to use it, that's not necessarily a good thing. Are you hoping that sometime in the future, the way the word is used or the weight that the word carries will somehow change?
Well, I would like for nigger to be, I want the process of stigmatization to continue. I do not want the word used by people who intend to injure other people. At the same time, I want people to understand that words do change and that words can change. I think it's a good thing, for instance, that there are substantial numbers of people who have said, we are not going to be made afraid by nigger. We're not going to be made ashamed by nigger. We're going to take nigger away from the racists. And in fact, we're going to rehabilitate it, and we're going to make it our own. I think that's fine. And when that happens, I do not object to it.
But when you say that it has those empowering qualities, it only has those empowering qualities for African Americans, right?
Well, not exactly. I don't think that there should be any per se rule that turns on a person's perceived race. In other words, I think there are occasions on which a white person can use the word nigger in a way that I don't find offensive or objectionable.
Who's the basketball coach? That was the
Coach Dambrot.
Dambrot at Central Michigan University, who tried just what we're talking about, basically said in the privacy of a locker room to his basketball team, I hear you using this word. Can I use this word? Can this work just as a, you know, as something between us, right?
Well, that was a very interesting story. This was a case in which a white basketball player had a predominantly black basketball team, not all black, but predominantly black. They're losing a game, and at halftime, he goes into the locker room, and he says to his players, can I use the N-word like you all use the N-word? And the players nod yes, and he says, listen, when you guys use the N-word, when you guys use the word nigger, you mean a player who's playing with intensity, a player that's playing with heart, a player that's playing with concentration. You all aren't playing like that. I need to see you playing like niggers. And in fact, he then goes around and points to a couple of players. He points to the players that he thinks are playing well. One was a white player. And he says, now so-and-so here is playing like a nigger. Then he points to somebody else and says, so-and-so here is playing like a nigger. But then he points to the rest and says, but the rest of you all are not, and you need to. Well, a student who had been cut from the team, a black student who had been cut from the team earlier, wrote a letter alerting school authorities about this locker room speech. And ultimately, Coach Dambrot was fired from his job because of protests about what he said. My view is that Dambrot had been somewhat imprudent in saying what he said, because there was a real risk of misunderstanding on a university campus. And so I thought that he was probably imprudent in doing what he did, but I did not think that he ought to have been fired from his job, because he clearly was not using that term to hurt these students or to hurt anyone else.
We were talking a little bit earlier about the way the word can be used, the way the word can be appropriated. Most of us will know the comedian Chris Rock uses the word nigger freely in his work. He gets a lot of laughs for it, but he does this using the word, rather, does his use of the word help or hinder the cause, or does it defang it? Let's just listen to a cut from his stand-up routine, Black People versus Niggers.
Now, we got a lot of things, a lot of racism going on in the world right now. Who's more racist, black people or white people? Black people. You know why? Because we hate black people, too. Everything white people don't like about black people really don't like about black people. There's some going on with black people right now. It's like a civil war going on with black people. And there's two sides. It's black people and there's niggers. And niggers have got to go. Every time black people want to have a good time, ignorant-ass niggers f*** it up.
I'm listening to the bleep in there because the bleep would traditionally cover the word nigger just as easily as it would cover, you know, a word beginning with A or M, mm-hmm. anything else in the routine.
That is very interesting. I mean, to that extent, it suggests that though we talk about nigger being stigmatized, clearly it is not as stigmatized as some of our rhetoric would suggest. So I think that the bleeping, or that the custom of bleeping there is interesting.
Now, Richard Pryor was the first big-name black comedian to use the N-word in his stand-up routines. Let's listen, if we can, to a little bit of Richard Pryor.
Cops put a hurting on your ass, man, you know. They really degrade you. White folks don't believe that. They don't believe cops degrade. Oh, come on, those beatings, those people are resisting arrest. I'm tired of this harassment of police officers. Because the police live in your neighborhood, see? And you be knowing them as Officer Timpson.
Hello, Officer Timpson, going bowling tonight? Yes, nice pinto you have.
Niggas don't know I'm like that. See, white folks get a ticket, they pull over.
Hey, officer, yes, glad to be of help. Here you go.
Nigger got to be talking about, I am reaching into my pocket for my license.
That's Richard Pryor using the word nigger in one of his stand-up routines. And my guest, Randall Kennedy, who's author of a book called Nigger, I wanted to ask you about an interview which Pryor gave about 3 years ago, in which after a trip to Nairobi, he said, you know, I'm sorry I ever used that word. I will never use that word again. Leaves me a little bit puzzled about, you know, your sense that maybe it's shifting in that direction. Maybe it's not.
Well, couple things here. First of all, it's true, and I mention it in the notes to my book, that Richard Pryor repudiated his nigger and his earlier use of it in his comedy routines. My own judgment is that the Richard Pryor gave us That Nigger's Crazy and Bicentennial Nigger and other comedy albums, that Richard Pryor said a lot more about the state of American culture, was a lot more insightful, was a lot more interesting than the Richard Pryor who subsequently denounced the use of the word nigger. I think it's interesting that he denounced it, but my own judgment, I prefer the earlier Richard Pryor. You played Richard Pryor, you played Chris Rock. Each of them using nigger was doing different things with it. Richard Pryor was clearly trying to use nigger to show the ugliness of the relationship between black people and the police. And he was using nigger to protest police misconduct, police mistreatment of black people. And one way in which he was able to do it and to really bring the message home through a comedy routine was by using the word nigger. Chris Rock was doing some interesting things. He was doing a variety of things. In part, using the word nigger, he was engaging in sort of internal criticism within a black milieu. At the same time, for instance, his line about, you know, who's more prejudiced, black people or white people? Black people because they hate black people too. It's a joke that goes in a lot of different directions. One thing that he's doing is showing the reality of black self-denigration. I've been asked, for instance, when was the first time that I ever heard the word nigger? I don't remember the first time that I ever heard the word nigger. It's been with me all my life. I can easily imagine that one of the first times I ever heard it was probably when I was real, real young and an older relative used it. And I can easily imagine an older relative using it in a way that expressed prejudice against other black people. So again, this word has many, many, many layers to it.
And we'll talk about those many layers as the program continues. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. My guest is Randall Kennedy. His book is called Nigger, The Strange Career of a Troublesome Word. And we're interested in your thoughts on the use of that word, or whether or not the use of that word is changing or should be changing, or whether or not it should simply be banned. Our number is 1-800-423-8255 to join The Connection. My name's Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR.
WBUR.
Yeah. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. Our telephone number, 1-800-423-8255. 1-800-423-TALK. Today we're taking on America's most loaded word with the Harvard Law professor Randall Kennedy. Here's how Public Enemy's Flava Flav sees it.
N-I-G-G-E-R. Nigga, 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 nigga. Everybody saying it, everybody playing it. Loaded on the scale, cause everybody weighing it. Toby said, yo, I'd be good, nigga. Nigga, get a shovel, nigga, be good, digger. I don't care how small or bigger. I don't wanna be called yo, nigga. Yo, nigga.
Public Enemies. I don't want to be called yo nigga. We're discussing, in the words of my guest Randall Kennedy, the strange career of a troublesome word. The word is nigger. Randall Kennedy, the cut of the song that we're listening to. You say in the conclusion to your book that you're looking for a renovation of the term of the word. Is that right?
Well, I'm not looking for a renovation is occurring.
Okay. Is that part of the renovation, the Public Enemies song?
Well, to some extent, yes. I mean, here we have, you just broadcast a song where somebody is talking about nigger. Now, he's actually protesting, it seems, the use of it. But in order actually to thoroughly protest the use of it, he has to use it.
So you'd like it out there more? You'd like to hear that type of song more on the radio?
I'd like to hear a intelligent discussion of the issues associated with the word, and I don't think that you can have an intelligent discussion that erases the word. I mean, here we have a paradox. In order to actually come to grips with this word, you've got to use it.
But there are people who would have us erase the word. One of them is Halford Fairchild. He's a professor of psychology and black studies at Pitzer College in Claremont, California. He's on the line. Hi, Dr. Fairchild.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on your program.
You've been listening to our program, and you two know each other, I'm sure.
I don't think we know each other, but I do want to say congratulations to Professor Kennedy for the publication of his book. I had opportunity to read the book, and I think it's very well done. It's richly researched and great resources for individuals who are interested in this word and its cultural significance. The book is well written, and I think it does a real service in bringing this to the forefront. I disagree with the conclusion of Professor Kennedy, but I certainly do think that the book is very worthwhile, and I hope he makes a lot of money selling it.
Is it fair to call you an eradicationist?
Yes, it is fair to call me an eradicationist, and I probably could not disagree with Professor Kennedy more when he says that we can't really have a public discussion about the word without using it. I, for one, consider it the most profane word in the English language. It is considered to be the vilest and most profane racial slur, and as a racial slur, I think it's probably the most profane of profane words. It's a word that will not spill from my lips because I'm self-conscious about trying to eradicate it from the popular culture of African-American people and from the American culture as a whole.
So why are you saying it's a good thing that Randall Kennedy's book is out there and that people are talking about it?
Well, his book, again, puts it in the front of our consciousness. It raises these troubling questions. It raises these debates. And it's also very well researched. I mean, it provides a lot of background information, a lot of historical information in popular culture as well as in the legal system about the use of the word. And I personally will find the book a very valuable resource in my own work on this question. At the same time, I think that, Dick, your program probably should have had some type of public service announcement before it started, you know, warning the audience that they were going to be subjected to the most profane of profane language, you know, on this radio program or during this hour.
I thought about that, you know. I thought about whether or not we should put out some kind of warning, and you'll note that we began the program, in essence, with the word, with its reference to the book. I mean, we chose not to do it, but not without thinking about it.
Right, there are other profane words, some of which you bleeped out, you know, particularly playing some of the comedy routines and things like that. But I think of a word like MF, which I won't say because we are in polite company here, would probably not be permitted on a radio program such as this, and it probably should not be permitted on a radio program like this, although I personally see MF as far tamer than the N-word, and the use of the N-word is obviously out of place in a public program, I think, such as this, without some very severe warnings to the audience.
Yeah. Dr. Kennedy.
Well, first of all, I'm very appreciative of the kind words that were just spoken about my book, and I respect people who disagree with me. I have lots of friends who do disagree with me about various matters, and frankly, I've gone back and forth with respect to certain issues in the book. I don't think that I've written the last word with respect to nigger and the various subjects that we're discussing here.
I agree. I think Professor Kennedy provides a very balanced perspective and doesn't really take a hard proselytizing point of view one way or the other. However, you know, we have heard the word used many times in the last 15 or 20 minutes, and I think that is something that we really have to put in front of our consciousness in order to try to change the absurd kind of race relations conditions that we have in this country.
But how we're
beginning to do that is to attack us on our popular culture and in our language. And that has to begin, I think, with African-American populations ourselves.
Halford, if we say the word is banned, nobody can use the word, don't we automatically grant it this fabulous underground currency, which might, in fact, put it more into popular culture, make it more something that youth or people would want to try and use?
Well, youth are using it, and I don't think that any kind of it's almost impossible probably for us to actually banish it from the language, although that would be what I would prefer to see happen. I think it's something that we just simply have to have a self-consciousness about it. I won't say MF on the air, and I won't use the N-word in my spoken speech. I mean, these are the kinds of politeness that we need to inculcate in our popular culture and in our society as a whole. Professor Kennedy said at the outset that the word is not used in polite company. And so I think that to be part of polite company, I think is a very good thing.
Let me ask you a question, though, on your position. Richard Wright uses the word nigger in his novels, in his memoirs. Mark Twain does in Huck Finn. Toni Morrison does in her various novels. What would you do about that?
Well, these are literary pieces of art that must stand as they were written. They were appropriate for their time, and we have to recognize that just as our language evolves, a point that Professor Kennedy makes very well in his book, so too our social consciousness about who we are as various members of so-called racial groups must evolve. And part of this evolutionary process is reflected in our language, so that what was appropriate for Richard Wright in the 1930s may not be appropriate for someone else in the 1990s or in the 21st century. It seems to me as though one of the points that comes out very loud and clear in Professor Kennedy's research is that the N-word itself was invented by a white supremacist system that used that word in order to suppress and oppress African people. We've evolved to the point now where there is, as Professor Kennedy appropriately points out, there is a reticence or a reluctance on the part of white people to use that word, particularly in mixed company. I think we need to evolve to the point where even black people will have a similar reticence or reluctance to use that word in any company, whether it's a homogeneous black company or any kind of company.
Our number is 1-800-423-8255 to Potsdam, New York. Lisa, you're on The Connection.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I thought this was extremely explosive that someone is discussing this issue. But within the African-American community, I have found that there's a divide about whether the word should be used or shouldn't be used and what context it should be used. But most definitely, it should not be used by anyone outside of that community because of the inflammatory nature of it. This is not just an intellectual exercise. It evokes deep emotional pain and memories. And knowing where the word comes from, it's that in and of itself should warrant it not to be used so freely.
Well, what's your view? Do you think it should be used at all?
I don't think it should be used at all. But there are some artists who feel that it can be used. Some people have embraced it as part of meaning something kind. In some humor, and like you mentioned, Chris Rock and even mm-hmm. Richard Pryor, in the context in which they used it, you're laughing, you understand what they're talking about, but it's not being used in a harmful way. In a way, it's trying to take the sting out of what was, it's sort of like somebody stabbed you and you're trying to put some salve on it and trying to find a way to make yourself feel better. But when people who aren't coming from that point of view, when they haven't been inflicted with that pain by being called that, the N-word, and they're trying to embrace it, it comes out totally wrong. So I feel, me personally, I feel the word shouldn't be used. But if it is going to be used, you can't control what everybody does. It should be used with a consciousness and with a matter of respect. And certain groups, populations should not even use the word.
I want to go back to the first thing you said, Lisa, though, about the fact that it can be used by African Americans, but not by anyone else, because that's something, Randall Kennedy, you write specifically about in the book.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't get an opportunity to read his book before this discussion.
That's fine. You're reacting to the conversation.
Sure. My view is that the word nigger is presumptively a bad word. So if you just, it's presumptively bad, but it's only presumptively bad. There are circumstances in which it is okay to use the word nigger. And by the way, when I say okay, I mean that for everyone. I think, for instance, in the book, I talk about Quentin Tarantino. Quentin Tarantino, the film director, has been very harshly criticized because in some of his films, films that he wrote, the word nigger is used. I've seen those films. I've heard the usage of them. I think that he was, those were fine films. He was doing a lot with the word. It was very interesting. I don't object that he was using the word, though he's a white filmmaker, as opposed to, let's say, Spike Lee using the word. Both of them have used the word nigger. Some people take the position that it's okay for Spike Lee to use it, play with it, do things with it, but it's not okay for Quentin Tarantino to play with it, do things with it. That's not my position. I think that culture is, I want a, I view culture as being the property of everyone. I don't want any sort of racial boundaries up, which prevent some artists from doing certain things, but other artists cannot do those things because, you know, they are white, black, or whatever.
Lisa, thanks a lot for your call. I want to ask you, though, about, Randall, about the word as a weapon, as an insult, because you are a lawyer. You've studied it in jurisprudence. There is the... I'm quoting things that you know instinctively, but the fighting words doctrine, the mere words doctrine, where people can excuse themselves by for whatever their reaction to the word is. And you go against the grain on that. You're saying that, in effect, that's a dangerous area to take something like a word.
Well, let's talk a bit about this last point that you raised. And this is a point on which I've gone back and forth and still might. In the law of murder, there's a doctrine of provocation. The classic instance of provocation is the instance in which a man goes home, finds his wife in bed with another man, and kills the man. The killer is guilty of a crime. But he may be able to have his criminal culpability diminished to some extent on the grounds that he was provoked. The law gives him something of an excuse. He's still going to jail. He's still committed a crime. But the law says we can understand. I mean, after all, this was a shocking thing that happened. You were provoked into doing this bad thing, to shooting the man. Well, the argument has arisen, just suppose the shooter has been called nigger. Should he be allowed, should he be enabled to argue to a jury that his criminal culpability should be reduced? Now, there's been a lot of argument about that, and different jurisdictions handle it in different ways. Some jurisdictions, for instance, Washington, D.C., says no. There was a case 2 years ago, two black men were in a fight. One of the black men called the other black man a nigger. The other one shot the man. And then when he was tried, he tried to get his criminal culpability reduced, saying, I was provoked. The D.C. Court of Appeals said, no, nigger is just a word. And we are going to take the position that mere words, no matter how insulting, do not provide any excuse for an unlawful, violent response. Other jurisdictions have come to a different conclusion. I think it's a very close question. In the early lectures, when I was investigating this, I took the position that no, there should be no excuse granted. In the book that I have just recently published, I take the position that juries ought to be allowed to diminish criminal culpability in that circumstance, though I admit to being, I'm torn. I'm still ambivalent. I'm still wrestling with this issue.
Alfred Fairchild, your thoughts on that?
This issue comes up demonstrates the reason why we have to enact strong voluntary moral prescriptions against the use of the N-word. If the N-word could be possibly used to diminish the culpability of a person who killed somebody because they were called the N-word, then certainly it's a word that we ought to see the very serious consequences for the popular culture and for the psychological well-being of African people.
Thanks a lot for joining us. To Roxbury, Siddiqui's on the line. Hi, Siddiqui.
Yes, good day. I'm calling. I direct the Black Community Information Center, and we deal with a lot of youth and a lot of people in general. Let me just say that to bring this issue to what I consider to be a quote-unquote an intellectual level is ludicrous. I think that it's intellectual crap. I mean, under no circumstances should this terminology be used by anyone, and particularly people of African descent, Black people. Understanding the history of this word, as the sister explained, that this was a term that the slave master came up with. Hey, I raped a slave last night. I lynched a slave last night. You know, I killed a nigga last night. I lynched a nigga last night. And so what I'm saying, essentially, when I heard about Richard Pryor, I mean, his thing was not about a cultural or social motivation in terms of trying to educate the masses. He was in his own ignorance, like a lot of us were. And he went to Africa, and he saw Black people running the government, running businesses, and running the show there. And he had an enlightenment and realized that he was into self-hate. The same thing with Dick Gregory. So for the Harvard professor to do a book, and I hope that the only book that he sells is the one that he has, and to say that this is something that needs to be discussed, I say it's ridiculous. It's an insult to people of African descent. And for me, I'd like to see a mass book burning of this book, because under no circumstances should this book be used. Folks such as myself, in terms of our organization, we've been fighting this term for many, many years. And for the sister who called in from New York, survey is done, and they said that 80% of Black people at this point feel the term should not be used in any circumstance. I don't care if it's Chris Rock or any of them. We don't use that term. It's about self-hate, and we have to eliminate that term. And I don't agree with the brother in terms of evolution. I said we need to end it right now. Thanks. Don't use it again, book or language.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, it's true that the word nigger has a very terrible history associated with it. And most of my book details that ugly history. Should I continue? We can't grapple with the ugliness of that history without directly confronting the ugliest aspects of it.
And we're going to continue directly confronting the ugliest aspects of it when our program continues. Siddiqui, thanks for your call. You make your point very forcefully. 1-800-423-8255. You're listening to The Connection on NPR. You're listening to The Connection on National Public Radio. We're talking about a new book written by Randall Kennedy. It's called Nigger, The Strange Career of a Troublesome Word. Our number's 1-800-423-8255. Siddiqui called in from Roxbury to say, Randall, that your book should be burned.
Yeah, well, obviously the idea of a massive book burning should... That's a terrible idea. And... bespeaks of a certain sort of authoritarian sentiment that I completely reject and is certainly rejected in the spirit of my book. One other point that needs to be raised, that the gentleman talked about the ugly roots of the word, the fact that nigger is part of, has been, and still is, part of the soundtrack of terrible racially motivated violence against people, particularly people of color. That's all true. That's all true, and I talk about that in my book. It's also true, however, that things with terrible roots can be transformed. If one thinks about slavery and some of the cultural artifacts generated in the terrible crucible of slavery, the blues, for instance, spirituals, for instance. Those are things that have, in a sense, terrible roots, but that have been transformed. And I would say that nigger is an artifact that can be transformed, too, just like any word can. And that we should take comfort, frankly, we should take comfort in that. We should take comfort in the idea that nothing has to remain the same. A word that has been used to wound people does not have to remain a word that can only be a wounding word.
You're a Harvard Law professor. You're a Rhodes Scholar. You graduated from Yale and Princeton. You clerked for the Supreme Court, Thurgood Marshall. You're a very well-educated and some would say a very powerful man. That gives you the platform to make those claims about how the word can be used. I'm wondering, listening to the tone of Siddiqui's voice, whether or not you're not in such a privileged position that you have the opportunity to be as bold with the word as you are, whereas other people may still carry too much, not fear, but may feel that the word itself still has too much power. And as a couple of our callers have said, just leave it alone.
Well, I understand that position, and it's not without merit. I don't think that simply because I disagree with a position doesn't mean that I don't concede that it has merit. For instance, when people say, with respect to my new book, won't this book give license to bigots? Won't bigots put a bad use to this book? The answer to that is yes, that will happen. I have no doubt that there will be people who will make mischief with my new book. My hope is that the good will supersede the bad. Whenever you write a provocative book, whenever you go on to dangerous territory, there's some bad things that could happen. This is no different. But I think that the good that grows from a forthright encounter with the word nigger will outdo the bad.
800-423-8255 to Providence, Rhode Island. David, you're on The Connection. Hi, David, are you there? We don't seem to have David. We're going to Raleigh, North Carolina. Gene is standing by. Hi, Gene.
Good morning.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having my call. I would like to say one thing up front. I congratulate the professor for having written this book. I'm eager to read it just to examine this issue. And I'm disturbed by the comment of one of the callers who suggested the book ought to be banned, because I think it's important to bring issues like that out for discussion. The word is part of the lexicon. I know I grew up in an essentially racist family in the South, and it took me years to discover that this was a pejorative term. And so now I'm very sensitive about its use. But it also fascinates me to contrast the attitude of blacks toward the use of the word and attitude of some whites toward the use of the word. For example, contrast Chris Rock's famous comment from one of his tapes, you know, there's black people and there's niggers. And then I look at what my father once said, and this just kind of blew my mind one day. He said, you know, I don't mind a Negro, I just can't stand a damn nigger. And, you know, that just kind of...
So, Gene, in your mind, is one of those right and one of those wrong? Is it easy to make that division?
I'm not sure. I have noticed, though, that it's fascinating to me that it's a term that blacks can use in certain contexts, but whites cannot and should not, and I certainly agree with that, because many blacks use it almost as a term of endearment among themselves.
Well, I think that the caller's juxtaposition of Chris Rock and his dad is an interesting one, and shows the way in which our various communities and the ideas generated in our various communities seep into one another, maybe influence one another. Going back to this issue again of, you know, who can use certain terms, for me, it's all a matter of context, of circumstance. I am against per se rules saying that a person, because of his or her race, cannot say certain things. Again, it all depends on what they are saying. What are their intentions? How do people understand them? That's what matters. It's the circumstances that determine the meaning of words.
Yeah, and Gene, I mean, we, I don't think your circumstances are different from mine. We were busy preparing for the program today, and one of the producers came over and with her back to the doorway of the production area where the connection is put together, said, have you finished with that nigger intro yet? And I thought to myself, my God, if somebody had just walked by at that point, not knowing that we're doing the book, how different it would have sounded, what it would have meant. You know, so, I mean, it's... There's tiger traps all over the use of this word, I think...
Yes, I know. I had a friend once who was a medical sociologist, a white fellow who was a medical sociologist at a black medical school in Nashville, Tennessee. It was Meharry. And he told me one day on a visit that he felt as if he had really arrived one day when his black students referred to him as nigger. He said that was a real, you know, term of acceptance and endearment.
Gene, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
To Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. Diane is on the line. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. You know, Carter G. Woodson, in his book, The Miseducation of the Negro, a book that I recommend people of all races read if you haven't already, says, and I'm paraphrasing, once you control a man's mind, you don't have to tell him to go to the back door. He'll automatically go there. And if there isn't a door there, he'll create a back door and go into it. And that's how I view the use of this word among black people. I mean, black people have so internalized the hatred and their inferiority that white people don't even have to use the word anymore. Black people have started using it among themselves.
But not necessarily in a pejorative way, though, Diane.
Well, that's even better, because they've convinced themselves that the word is a term of endearment and that they've somehow taken the sting out of it. And yet we know that that's not the case, because if it were, it wouldn't bother them when non-blacks use it. And it does. Jennifer Lopez took a lot of heat just recently, and she's a singer who arguably has been embraced by many black people. She used the word in one of her songs recently, and she took a lot of heat from the very black people that often use it in their music. So clearly, the sting has not been taken out of it, and it's not going to be taken out of it. Furthermore...
So what's the answer then, Diane?
The answer then is to stop using it. And I have argued that for some time. I mean, on 2020, they had done articles where they... or pieces where they bleep the profane words, the MFs and SH and all that, but they freely use the N-word. And I'd written to them saying that word should have been bleeped as well. Okay, this isn't a word that's going to go away. People are always going to use it, and there are people who will always use it to wound. But we do not have to feed into that. Furthermore, I mean, just look at this logically. If, in fact, we can take the sting out of it and just make it an everyday word, why don't we hear other races doing the same thing? Why don't we hear Jews greeting each other, hey, what up, Jaime? Or what's going on, WAP? Or why don't we hear Hispanics referring to each other as spicks? Or white people in general referring to each other as crackers and honkies? You're not going to hear that, because they have enough sense to know that these are terms that, even if they don't wound as much as the word nigger, and I would argue that there is no word that wounds as much as that, they know that the best way to get it out of circulation is to not use it.
Randall
and
Kennedy,
they will jump on anybody else who does.
Well, I think that the caller is right insofar as she says that usage of the word nigger often is an indicator of an internalized sort of self-denigration. I would agree with that, but I would not agree that that exhausts the issue. I think that there are people who use the word nigger as a term of endearment, and it is truly in a term of endearment. With respect to this question of bleeping that has come up a couple of times during the course of our conversation, again, I think the caller has a good point, and I would say I wouldn't bleep, frankly, the MF or any of the other words. I think here of, you know, George Carlin's routine, the seven dirty words. I think that there is a problem that is raised by bleeping, you know, this word, but not the other words. And my inclination would be to bleep none of them. Finally, on the question of what other groups do, after listening to a lecture I gave a while ago, a person who was in the audience sent me an article about Cracker Day at a town in Florida, where the people set aside a day. They knew that these were all white people. and they were valorizing the term cracker. I don't think that the nigger is alone in it being sort of transformed. Queer would be such a word. Bitch would be another word. I mean, this is not idiosyncratic.
Diane, thanks for your call. 1-800-423-8255 is our number. And we'll go to Pocatello, Idaho. Nancy.
Good morning.
Hi there.
My concern is that the word may be distasteful, but it's also been a part of history. And I don't think you take the power out of a word by getting rid of the word. You need to change the connotation.
But does that mean repeating it, Nancy? Does that mean calling your African-American neighbors that word? Of course not. So how would you do it?
Well, I'm not sure, but I don't think banning it or burning a book that talks about it is the solution either. I just don't think you can revise it out and pretend we never used the word.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Randall Kennedy, a young student comes to you and says, somebody just called me the N-word. I'm really upset about that. Someone in your family says, what are you doing putting this on the cover of a book? I mean, how do you square this in the circle of friends and colleagues that that are raising the sort of questions we're hearing this hour?
Well, I mean, each of those requires a different response. I mean, for instance, the young person, I'd like to know, for instance, how young, in what setting did this come up? For instance, if it were the case that a high school student said, we're reading Huck Finn, and I'm really upset because this book contains the word nigger. I really feel just wounded by this, and I'm really upset. What do you think?
Okay, but we talked about Huck Finn. I'm talking more specifically about some of a niece or a nephew, a son or a daughter would say, I got called that, and it's on the cover of your book.
Yeah, and I'd say life is complicated. I've been called it too, by the way. And I would probably say to the person, I would probably say, listen, stay away. If the person was intending to wound you, was intending to make you feel badly, two things. Number one, don't feel badly. That's number one. Don't feel or be wounded. And number two, stay away from the person. But one thing that I think is very important with this, I've used the word wounded, you know, we can choose often to be wounded or not. And one thing we ought to do, one of the lessons I hope that is derived from this book, is that we ought not to allow bigots to wound us. We ought to be stronger than they are. And one way of being stronger than they are is to understand the words that they use.
Randall Kennedy, thanks for being with us. Randall Kennedy, author of Nigger, The Strange Career of a Troublesome Word. He's a professor at the Harvard Law School. My name's Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection on NPR.